Okay, well, I guess we'll start. We don't have any other latecomers. I'll get started. I'm not sure if everybody has an agenda in front of them, but we'll start with the adoption of the agenda. If I could have somebody move.
Sure.
And a seconder?
I'll second. Okay.
Adoption of the minutes. I'm going to get some new business afterwards, so if anybody wants to add it, we'll just sort of go around the table. Adoption of the minutes, is there any concerns about the minutes from the last one? Chatty crowd today. So, if somebody can move the adoption of the minutes.
I'll move.
I'm, and a seconder?
Sure.
We're going to be done in 20 minutes here. So, recommendations from council. You can see on the agenda that regular council meeting February 16th, 2022, that Matt Simon be appointed to the Airport Youth Committee as a new member. Welcome, Matt, representing Parkville Baltimore Club. And number four, business arising from the minutes. Oh, I'm sorry, Natalie. I forgot about you, but you're not on our list. You have since been appointed as well, so maybe I'll just take some time then, and we'll start with Matt, I guess, if you just want to give a brief introduction, and then Natalie will do the same for you.
Okay. So I've been a member of the Coleman Beach Flying Club since 2000, did my private and commercial license out at the airport here. Curiously, over, you know, almost now, 22 years of aviation experience in various parts of the industry, from 702, 703, 704 operations to maintenance and specialized aerials.
Okay, Natalie, if you'd like to say something about yourself, this is your chance.
Okay, well, my name's Natalie. I'm the new member at large, whatever that may mean. I've spent the last almost three decades of my career managing airports. More lately, I was a director at Whitwaty Airport for the last 7 years, and I moved to the island. I'm the daughter of an aviator. My son is an AME, and I guess it just runs in the blood. In my part-time, I'm also a member of Aerosmith Search and Rescue, and I've been making the rounds and sort of piece by piece meeting various airport users, and I'm just looking forward to seeing what's on the agenda and how we can grow the community in the airport and the interest in the airport in Qualcomm.
Thank you. So I've got business arising from the minutes, and as you can see, our agenda is a little sparse. But does anybody want to speak to this one? Nothing from the old minutes? Okay, I'll just move on to new business then, and I'll give everybody sort of a chance here and do a bit of a round table if anybody wants to speak on something that is a pressing issue or an issue in general. And I guess I'll start with, we'll go clockwise at the top of the screen, I guess, then Natalie, you'll be first.
Well, it's my first meeting, so certainly meeting some of the membership, I haven't been apprised of any issues right now. One point of interest for me, Andrew, is whether or not the airport will be hosting an airport open house this year in conjunction with the emergency management conference that was planned for the island.
Okay. I will ask around. I'm not sure about the status of the emergency management conference. I know there's been a few issues around it, but you know, we had a few other things in line with the emergency management conference in the airport that Jeff and I have discussed, but we'll have to see how that pans out.
Okay, thanks.
Um, Mike or Pavel, whichever one wants to go first.
I just like to second the thing about the airport open house. I think I was even business of the old minutes, but I think like I'm encouraged to promote that and can help organize it, and I'd like to be a big part of it and making it happen if and when it can. I think the mission of trying to promote the airport and the aviation community in general is important for the town and the residents, and even Parksville included too, to see what actually goes on here behind the fence and the closed doors and all that kind of stuff. So if it can be in conjunction with the search and rescue convention, I think that's great. And then you see every aspect to what our airport here has to offer.
All right. Pavel?
Yeah, I'm 100% behind the mic. I think we should open the house for the public to the airport as an open house, and then introduce them again what we're doing over here for the community and what's happening at the airport. So there's better understanding from the public what's going on at the airport, and they have a full view, and we got some support from the public on that issue.
Okay, Brian.
Nothing really. You and I haven't discussed that. I know that the jet fuel is an ongoing issue. I know you're working on it. That's the only thing I see that has an effect on any of the turbo waters or any of the other helicopter companies that come in. There's no fuel here, but it's pretty well known. I haven't seen anybody calling looking for fuel, so that's just going to have to unfold the way it is, and as it does rather, and go from there.
Okay, I guess we'll move into the room. Jeff, do you have anything you want
to go to Ian?
Ian, I forgot about you.
Ian, who we can't see.
James from Zimmy is there. You still with us, Ian?
Where? Yeah, I'm right here.
Okay. Do you have anything you want to add for a roundtable, anything you'd like to discuss, or?
No, just the way it was in the past. We're just getting busier now, so it's the parking is getting to be not an issue, but we're getting very busy. So it's just if everybody, I know we all park there and stuff, so we're moving down. So I just wonder what's going to happen with the parking lot, or I don't know if we're just going to keep it the way it is.
Okay, I will, we'll have that discussion in the future. It's something that we're sort of investigating and working on. We're still deciding about the pay parking, whether that's even a worthwhile exercise, but.
Yeah.
Okay, anything else?
Nope.
Can I jump back in and add one thing that's somewhat related?
Sure.
Aircraft parking, on a similar kind of note, is becoming more and more limited. We get a lot of people, and I think, again, this was something that was discussed in the last meeting. We get a lot of inquiries about where to park aircraft, and I think it's a bit of an issue. The tie-down area that was intended to be aircraft parking is so muddy that you can't even taxi an airplane through it. And there's also large ruts that have formed over there throughout the winter of people driving vehicles through the grass. There's large ruts, it's swampy, and so the only really accessible tie-down is the front row right in front of Texas Flying Club. It gets pretty congested and already is. And I know it's been something that's been talked about before, but I don't know if there's anything that's come out of it.
There are a few things on that front. With the fuel system, we sort of track down the cause of some of the water that's going there. We'll probably have a little project to re-divert some of that. And at that point, we may regrade some of it and resurface it. It won't ever be paved in the near future, but we may look at just putting some fill down.
Yeah, I think even gravel would be a huge help. And, you know, it's kind of ditchy in there, too, right? Like, there's a big dip, and so it's actually dangerous for aircraft to be taxiing through certain parts of it. But, yeah, I think gravel or some kind of fill, like you say, would be great. Thanks.
So 2 years ago, a lot of set up these. Paul was talking about the possibility of putting some mesh down. So that issue, a combination of gravel and mesh. And there was something up on board me that had it, and it kind of fell through. But something's got to be done. It's just awful. I mean, it's expecting people to pay, and you've got to provide them with something that's safe. I noticed that there's a cardinal in there that, by the way, hasn't damaged the tail, but
you
pushed it back,
and
it just
kind of
sunk in to it, so that's not acceptable.
Well, when I used to park there before time, there before I got a hangar, and it used to be I changed wheel bearings every year, because it rains, and the ditch is the front line, but the line used to be actually in the center of the field at one point. Yeah.
Okay. I think that's really important. Yeah.
Okay. I guess, yeah, we'll move on to you then.
There's nothing from me, but I'm sure I'll be adding you bring a lot of stuff up.
Thanks.
Don't worry, I'll help you.
I guess we'll move down the table.
Okay, so we brought up the parking one, which is what I've always been focusing on, one of the main complaints. The system was the other one, but the one I noticed lately has been that concrete pile that is not secured or marked in any way, shape, or form on the lower side there. I see people walking their dogs down that way at all.
This is ground side.
Ground side is tractor use, essentially, right?
So is this the concrete pile in general, or is it just the fact that people have chosen for it to be a walking area? Or?
Well, I just think it's just a hazard waiting to happen, right? There's nothing stopping anyone from going in there. It's not like it's behind the fence. It's in the general, access to the general population, right?
Yeah, there has been some discussion about reestablishing that gate underneath the parking lot, because that really is a tenant area or an operating area behind that. So we've looked into that. The issue we're going to have is, now that Aerosmith Search and Rescue is there, yeah, the fence line isn't consistent now, right? So it stops there. So you could drive from one side of Aerosmith to the other side,
yeah,
and avoid that whole gate.
Now that's the gate where by the area that Tanner used to be, is that
yes,
the kind of idea?
Yeah.
You're thinking of the gate that isn't a gate.
Yeah.
But it's a gate, but
yeah,
there's a gate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Going back to that, that's a nightmare. Like I remember when I first started flying at the airport, that was the fence line.
Yeah.
And you couldn't access anyone on the commercial road. And that was a huge complaint for tenants for years. They were charging on commercial rate, essentially, without having access, like street-side access.
Yeah, I second that. That's a big issue for potential customers trying to inquire or come and see the business.
So, I mean, if you put that gate, you ran that fence line on the other side of the street down and then put the gate further off on that side, that would be a whole different story. But taking away that access would be significantly damaging than it was in the past.
Okay, so if we don't remove, like if we don't have a gate to access that other part,
yeah,
what prevents the general public and the dog walkers and everybody else from getting in there?
Run the fence line down the whole way down the other side there, put the post in and continue it down.
I'm not sure when you get down the other side. But
okay, so you know where the road splits?
Yeah.
So keep
keep the Raven Warren going straight, bring the fence line across instead of angling down, bring that fence line across and bring it up and then put the gate up by the terminal building so that you
see the current airside gate that opens and closes.
Yeah.
You're suggesting bring it just almost parallel to the weather station, for example.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay, you see that? That's what. So that would then capture that concrete area inside ground.
Yeah, and it will also give you in the future to add on to that taxiway, you a few more lease lots in there technically too, right? If you wanted to extend the taxiway that you have if you've got to build up the airport.
I know what you're getting at.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
It's the same thing on that side. We're putting in some coated manholes, right? They do it every other airport, so when people are tying down in that grass up there, they don't have to walk all the way up to the terminal building. They can just walk over to the nearest manhole.
Okay. See, I guess that leaves us with you. I'm saving mine for last.
Oh, okay. It's just funny, up what Mike said, like, you both have those house. But before we address the issues with the muddy area and parking, that's a good idea, Matt. That's a good idea. Any updates on the new buildings?
So let's start with the new buildings because that's the happy news. I have a waiting list of probably 10 people who want to build hangars now, and at this point where, you know, we have the sort of luxury of telling people that, you know, we may have to turn them away. So the initial Row B application was approved. We have heard from them. They are still sort of in progress. Since then, Kevin, I think who you've all probably met or know, Notch One Engineering, I think is the company. He has gone through the process of applying for a new hangar, and it went to council, and in the last meeting it was approved. So he is ready to go ahead. Everything has been approved by council. He submitted his drawing for development permit. So now it's just a case of signing the lease and he can start construction anytime. I have three other people who want to build individual hangars and another company that has come and wants to build another group of 8 to 10 hangars. So we are busy. And, you know, some of these we just need to get past the initial interest stage. But I think, you know, showing from the last application that it wasn't a long, arduous process, it was fairly straightforward. He knew what he wanted. He applied and he went ahead. So the other thing I wanted to talk about today was lease sign-off. And I know we've had discussions for about a year now on leases. There are about 10 outstanding. So I will be knocking on your door, and the expectation is that by the end of the summer, at the absolute latest, all the updated leases will be signed. We had discussions, so we have added things like an arbitration clause, you know, and there's information in there. So if you haven't seen the latest lease, please let me know. I'll send you the copy, and then I will be coming around to get signatures. I'm sure there's questions.
So standard lease for every single facility on the airport then?
There is one that's different. Well, there's two versions. There's a personal and a commercial.
Okay.
And there's really just one clause, and it has to do with, you know, the company or people in the company. There is one that's different because we do own a building out there, so that lease is a little bit different.
Okay.
but I am not aware of any other leaf that's different. We're trying to get them all exactly the same.
Now, the fuel costs is the other one that all of our members brought up.
Yeah.
So the scenario is aircraft there, fuel pumps go down, the waves written in there, it sounds like you can't even use a jury can to put on.
Okay, so I've had discussions on this. I understand our fuel issue is, let's call it less than desirable.
Yeah.
If it is an issue, I am happy to do a temporary letter that says we will look at that clause in, and you know, and set aside that clause in the lease until we can have some kind of commitment. And I've already been asked for one, and I will do an official version on letterhead from the town, signed off by everybody. But what we don't want to see is in the future when this is resolved, that people continue to have large tankers on their lease and use it for fuel.
So now you're talking about a permanent on-ground structure tanker. Is what you're referring to?
I'm talking about like a jerry can or something like that. That, to me, that's not a fuel storage system. A 5 or 10,000 liter tank is a fuel storage.
Okay.
But if you're coming in with, you know, a tidy tank in the back of your truck or something like that, I don't have an issue with that, right? Where it becomes an issue is things like fire code and other things. But if you have sort of a portable system that you're using temporarily, you know, I'm happy to put it in writing that I don't have an issue with it until the fuel issue is solved.
Is one of the things that says the landlord has agreed to lease the tenants the land, but including the building. Well, the landlord doesn't build the tenants, the tenants. There are some buildings that the tenants
doesn't. Yeah, and I'll go through all of the leases because there is the one outlier that where we actually have the building, and that might be a clause that we can't be putting on the right.
Yeah.
Yes. No, I understand that. That was...
So, the uses that I draw on the town here, or you have a page that the first 5 years, you know exactly what you expected to pay, right? Which is not here, we have to rely on the bylaw for the council. So, what happens if council changes and the bylaw is also staying in like two and a half years, all of a sudden they decide that the rates go up, and it's like moving the rates suddenly go up from 2 to 5%, and everybody's caught. So what guarantee is it for us that when we sign up in between the 5-year period, that nothing's going to change, and then we need to know what we're going to pay?
And that's true. It is set by mile, and it's usually set for like 5 years at a time. And you're right. You know, like when we set the last one, it's typically a 5-year process. So
is that 5-year period that's actually written down that council doesn't change that by the
for like 5 years,
or don't just kind of, you know, this is what happens in the moment?
I think nothing is out of the realm of possibility. Typically, though, if a bylaw like that, we carry it until it expires, and then they revisit it prior to the bylaw expiring and reset the rates again. There has to be typically a justification. So, you know, a bit of insight into when we set those rates, and this goes right down to how much we charge for a photocopy. We can't set them arbitrarily. We have to have justification for them, and it is reviewed by somebody else. So if we were to go forward and say, we're not going to charge $5 for a photocopy, we have to justify the province why we're charging $5 for a photocopy. So we can't sort of just arbitrate. There is oversight.
So even with a lease on a piece of land, wherever it is, they can't just arbitrarily come in and say, now we're going to make it like $50,000 to, you know, $1,000.
I'm not going to say no, but it's very unlikely. I don't know of any law that says they can't come back and revise the bylaws safe rates alone.
Because like in the Campbell River, for example, they lay out the first so many years in there based off of their bylaw.
Okay.
But it is in their legal as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. And actually,
because she's going back a long time, been around for a long time. And it does seem on the page that the town has given us yet provisions about these both in this always on the
I read this refers to the bylaw number.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. It would be nice to have it on the page.
Which is understandable for the first 5 years to move the bylaw, right? So
yeah.
Was that bylaw can be referred to in a document that is huge different. What was the other one? There's one clause in there that's written about without cost or without justification.
That's the 90-day.
The 90-day one.
Oh,
and the time that I know is when I look at the lease, I said it's not going to be
yeah. The one that says this lease can be terminated by either party with 90 days notice.
Yeah, like I said, I looked through this lease.
I didn't see that.
I didn't see it in this lease.
Substantial destruction. Everybody feels that 30 days is absolutely not sufficient time. If something happens, even to get some kind of quotes from any construction company, insurance company, it's not going to happen 30 days.
I think,
yeah,
when we look at that, I think that was, what is your intention? Are you going to walk away?
Or are you going to? Is dependent on
what
the quotes are.
Yeah.
If you can't get quotes, you can't make a decision. That means you have no idea what it's going to cost to rebuild the building or what
you should. So you need more than 7 years.
You can't. So I mean, I know we had the discussion on this.
So
I don't think there was any large objection to changing it.
What's 90 days going to do? It's not going to hurt anybody.
It's not going to hurt anybody. No, it gives people time to make that decision.
And that's all it is. It's getting information to make a call whether
it's not like it. The town will be collecting, technically collecting the lease off of that lot.
You still have to pay the land.
I think we had some discussion with Dan, and he didn't have any large objection. The 30-day changing that. He's not there anymore, and I can have the discussion with the new CAO, but I completely understand that.
That makes sense. But yeah, the one you're looking for, the one that you and I talked about.
I can't see it in the place.
Okay. And I couldn't remember, but I saw something in there once about, either party can cancel the lease within 90 days. I know that's true with the term.
This is not all our building leases.
Yeah. But for land leases at the airport?
I don't see it anywhere. I know what came up last time, and that was the fact that it's up to the fee to decide on whether they're going to do the renewal, and the town is not going to inform anybody, which to me is nuts, because every week I get an email saying that the garbage collection is going to be picked up, and if you can't tell me in 10 years that my lease is due, I'm sorry, but that has to be changed because who knows? There could be a change in the president, whatnot. Somebody forgets at the club level and all of a sudden bullshit and it goes, nobody has to say, oh yeah, we want to renew it.
That would be easy to do, right?
I can tell you from other leases and other sort of application processes that we have, about 50% of the time somebody gives us an address and never gives us an updated one. And you can't contact them again.
Yeah.
And it's in there because it has been an issue for us. And what ends up happening is we will wait 3 months or 6 months or even longer and we can't contact the person.
But this is a little different because you've got a physical place you can go and put a notice on the door. It's not like you're dealing with an unreturned library book. You know, if you put a 90-day notice on the guy's door in his hangar, he doesn't come around 90 days, he's probably not going to come back.
That's a fair statement, but I would argue the opposite. Okay, if this lease is so important to you, why can't you contact us when you know what to do?
But like Paul said, we had a prime example for last president. Fred dealt with a lot of stuff that we've gone through, and I had to go and physically find out what was missing. On a deceased, someone's deceased. So you're expecting someone to keep a note on the board saying that this
at this speed, this is due to...
I'm not expecting you to keep a note on board. I'm expecting you to keep financial records. That's what we're asking. This isn't a fridge magnet with a note on it. This is part of your operation and the lease that goes along with it. I get what you're saying, that why can't we notify you? I'll ask the question, but I suspect I know what the answer is.
Yeah, but even if the notification came on the last lease payment at the last of the term, would you make a big difference too, as a notification? You can tell someone they're 30 days overdue on paying their taxes.
As a compromise, I could see us saying, you know, when you're at 9 years, yeah. When we send you the invoice for your last year, we send you a notification of it. But 30 days before, or 90 days before, yeah. Or whatever. But if we are contacting you with at least a notification or an invoice, I can see sending out a notification a year in advance.
That's just a piece of computer code.
I think that's all we're asking for in there, is because then we can start the ball rolling.
Okay, next. You won. Don't
stop that. Well, not yet. I really like that. I'm not disagreeing with you.
Yeah.
I'm also not the final word. But I will plead the case.
What is it? Oh, sacrificial lamb.
They also call it shooting the messenger. Okay. This is your chance. Anyone else?
I had a quick question from earlier, not necessarily about the leases, but you started the conversation about the new hangers, saying that you had a wait list of about 10 people and that you're going to have to start turning them away. Why is it that you wanted to start turning them away?
Because we don't have the space. We have more requests than we do space.
What about all the space on the undeveloped space? I mean, I know that there's only a limited amount down by the T-hangers, but there is that survey that was done... 3 years ago or so, that outlined all the unused space?
South side now?
Are you talking north of the city hangars or south of the city?
Oh, sorry, south side, south of the runway, that's what I meant. Yeah.
So there's 28 acres on the south side? Have you been watching the council meetings?
Yeah.
Okay. Removing the trees is a very contentious issue. So, you know, depending on what the long-term strategy is or long-term plan for that area, it would require us to essentially cut down every tree on those 28 acres. And it will be a tough sell currently.
There was that survey. Do you remember that being done? It was in like 2019 or something. I think there was a consultant that came and said, well, it could be used for... you know, affordable housing or industrial or whatever. And I remember attending a few meetings on that, but I don't know if that information ever was used.
There was a strategic plan done, like a business plan for the airport. Since that time, provincial governments have changed and other things have changed, and the government has become very restrictive on what we can put on airport lands because it is a crown grant. We've had a couple of requests for different types of projects, and they've all been turned down if they weren't airport related.
Right.
When I say airport related, I mean directly airport related.
Yeah, so hangars would be directly airport related, wouldn't they?
That is correct. But with the understanding, too, that the development of that property and the hangars, we're talking about $3 to $4 million to put something suitable there for somebody to start building hangars. And it's just not a budget we have right now.
Okay.
I'm like a broken record here, but many years ago when we were talking about the key situation, I made some recommendation that we should approach RDN because it's RDN land and get a process going where he has to take counsel. And I still think that is one of your few outs to the situation, because it's just going to get worse than his present attitude.
Without giving too much away,
listening to in
So the Nanaimo Airport started that about 10 years ago, and they are still working on it. They are still trying to get the approval to force them to add inspection trees down across the street. We've had those discussions with the RDM. They have encouraged us to look at other options because they thought it would either not go ahead or it would take us at least a decade or two to find a clear approval for it. So they are working on it at San Nanaimo, but they are not optimistic.
But if you don't start the process, I'm saying your discussion was 15 years ago, if you don't start the process, then it will never happen.
But we have other options that we are pursuing.
Our problem is if RDM has to do it.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I know.
That's what, I think that's what I was running into is the RDM saying, you know.
We knew when it was raised it was going to take years, but at least the process was good.
And we are still in contact with them. We haven't abandoned it. Okay. We are approaching it from other points of view. So okay. We know it's an issue. We absolutely know it's an issue. And I can assure you we are trying every option that we can.
So there's a house that, and then one day, extra boat, somebody is going to hit their wheels on top of those trees, and then where does the owners go if the landowner has been warned that this is an option? So if somebody is buying for us, then they're going to go after their family. The trust or whatever's going on. If the city and the family understand what's could possibly happen if there's an accident. That's pressure. Because, you know, it keeps on going, somebody's going to hit it.
Well,
that's why it comes along the tops of trees.
What happens is the minute we have penetration in the slope, the runway threshold gets displaced by law.
Yeah.
And Lars and I had this discussion years ago. If the displacement continues past a certain point, Navajo can't safely land here, and at night especially. Mm-hmm. And that's really what, that's what we do to keep the airport legal, but in the meanwhile.
Meanwhile, while this is happening,
yep.
And after
theoretically no, because the threshold is displaced.
I'm not putting an IFR now, it's okay.
Come on, VFR. The VFR paint will be moved down the runway.
But there's a VFR guy coming in, not a great pilot. There's a downdrop, which happens over Prince Creek, and then...
Well, he can do that right now.
Yeah.
Because he can that's why they put displacement. Because of the trees. And you talked to Pitsy? He is.
I know.
I can't say what I think of the guy. He just says no.
He is very determined.
Yeah.
That's polite.
How old is he?
In his 80s, late 80s.
Are you sure he's in his late 80s? Because I swear he's in his late 80s.
Okay. We're just to move on from that. It is something we are.
He's very determined. What is he determined about? Not cutting his trees?
That is correct.
Yeah.
And it is his right.
He's got hydro and fisheries that have a big stick and have moved in and done stuff. And he has found out we do not have that big stick. And
yeah.
That's what he does. He says no.
Okay. Anyone else? Nothing about trees.
It's not being ignored. I know that.
Okay, so I think part number six, we've probably covered some of this future agenda items and discussion. I'm not going to put you on the spot here. If there is something you want on a future agenda, please just forward it to me via email, and we'll make sure it gets on the agenda. I'm sure there will be several things that come up.
Can I talk about jet fuel?
Yes.
Okay.
Do I want to talk about it?
Well,
I guess I'm the guy to talk about it.
Let anybody know what's going on with the jet fuel and what could happen next year for the AgGas.
Yeah, so I think I've had this discussion with a few people. We know there is an issue with the jet fuel. We're not sure where it is. The pumps, the filters keep clogging. We've done a pressure test. We've had the pumps looked at. four times now. We've had the field scrubbed and we still have the same issue. So we've put in an emergency request to the province for a new fuel system. It's encouraging. I think they like what we had to say. We finished our application about a week or two ago. I am waiting for a response. And if we get the funding, we'd probably be looking at 2 to 3 months before we have a new system in place. It would be above ground and it would replace the existing system. Our hope is that we move from a 20,000 liter tank to a 60,000 liter tank. So if we get that, then the next application would be for the Avgas fuel system, hopefully next year, because we know we'll probably have the same issue with that we currently have with the jet fuel. So the minute I hear something, I will let everybody know. And if you haven't heard, the lighting application has now been fully approved. I think the design was at 95% last we checked, and we expect that to probably go ahead this summer. So it'll be a full switch to LED.
And Arnold is saying we did stuff to the jet fuel. That means we're calling in professional commercial fuel handlers. They're the ones that have done all the work and they can't find the problem with the jet fuel. I don't understand it myself, but that's the way it is at the moment. So the jet fuel runs for hours maybe and then it shuts down again. So that's why it's been no hand off for several weeks. It just continuously floods the filter. My guess is there's a bunch of junk on the bottom of the tank. The tanks are roughly 40 years old from what we can talk to the folks on the airport. So they've been in the ground a long time now. They're way past their time to replace date.
And you said that this could potentially happen to the Avgas as well?
Not the lack of fuel. It's still, Avgas is still working.
But it is the same tanks and the same pumping system.
Yeah.
So,
right, so you're saying that there could be a bunch of junk in the bottom of the Avgas as well?
We've never had an issue with the pumping speed of the Avgas. Where the likelihood doesn't seem high, but the jet fuel itself has always, like for the last year, has been an issue. So, and saying a bunch of junk in the tank doesn't mean there is. It could be the pumping system itself. We were told by two separate companies that the fuel filters has changed technology, and we tried new filters, and some of that could be just a sensor issue. We've had two separate companies look at it on 4 different occasions, and nobody seems to know what it is.
Okay, understand.
And we had the fuel scrub, and we had the tank pressure tested, so, I'm not going to go on record and say, yeah, there's a whole bunch of stuff, because we honestly don't know.
One other quick question. This is going back to kind of older business. We had discussed in previous meetings, Jeff in particular, about going through a process to potentially change the noise management procedures. Was that, did that go anywhere with NAF Canada?
Did I tell him?
I can't remember if that
was.
Okay. Scratch NAF Canada, put Transport Canada into that comment. But it was rejected middle of last summer. We put the application in. The one that we talked about, it came back and saying, you guys have done insufficient public consultation. So, it's back to the drawing board. With COVID and every other thing going on, quite frankly, we haven't moved on it since then. What that would mean is the proposal that we all agreed on, the 500-foot turn and all that stuff, would have to go back to all the residential committees, all those folks, plus you guys, and then get the whole package gets resubmitted to Transport Canada. It's an environmental officer who looks at it. It's not a Transport Canada inspector. He's the guy in Ottawa that stopped it this time. all the work we did, it got set.
Yeah, I understand. I just couldn't remember where that was left. It was, if there was...
It was very frustrating because we put a lot of work into what we thought everything was working fine. We talked with the inspector and looked after Qualcomm, and then he came back, no, insufficient. Didn't say the procedure was wrong or wouldn't work or was unsafe, nothing like that. We didn't do enough public consultation. We didn't document it enough. So I don't know where we're going to go right now. I guess we're going to start from square one again, and that's what we're going to decide. And Ivan and I have talked about, we're going to have more meetings with you guys, and then if we all agree on that, on the same procedure, then we'll go back out to the Qualcomm Woods folks, the all those guys, and say, do you like it? And you know what's going to happen. You know, it's going to take months for them to all come back with an agreement. So
we have a public petition at the airport open house that has people sign and say that they support it.
I like the way you're talking, man.
Let's get a public consultation as anything, right?
Yeah,
so
I like that. Oh, man.
Okay, well, one last call if anybody has anything else. If not, we will wrap it up. All right, I guess I just need a motion to adjourn. Anyone?
Sure.
Okay, Mike and a seconder. Oh. That's it, everyone. Thanks for coming out.